I want to ask you to open to Ephesians chapter 1, but I would like to have Proverbs 10:22 put up on the screen here. Proverbs 10, verse 22. And I want you to look up and I want you to read that scripture out loud to me. I'm not going to read along with you, so just take off and start reading. Read out loud, though, so everybody can get together. Look at the scripture on the screen. Proverbs 10:22.
It is the blessing of the Lord.
I can't hear the rest of you.
It maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it.
Once again.
The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it.
That's right. The blessing of the Lord. Say the blessing. We're not talking about a blessing. We're talking about the blessing, which is made up of a bunch of blessings. You're born again. That's a blessing. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a blessing. You're prosperous. That's a blessing. You're healed. That's a blessing. You're walking in health. That's a blessing. You have ministry in your life. That's a blessing. These are a blessing that make up the blessing. The great blessing of God. And we've talked about the blessing now for a number of weeks. We've said it's progressive. The revelation of it just keeps getting greater and greater and greater. We know that right now the Bible says that the covenant that we live under is a better covenant established upon better promises than the original Edenic covenant. And that was good. And the Adamic covenant, that was great. The Noahic covenant, that was really good. The Abrahamic covenant, oh man, that was powerful. The Mosaic covenant, better than that. Better than that covenant, and all of those covenants now still are included in the great covenant of God. The Berit Hadashah, the new covenant, in my blood. Why? Because all of the other covenants were cut in the blood of animals, but this covenant is cut in the blood of Jesus. It's progressive. Progressive revelation. Genesis chapter 1, God spoke to Adam. The Bible said, and he blessed him. He blessed them, Adam and Eve. He blessed them. What did he say to them? What was the blessing? That's it. Say it out loud, Keith. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Have dominion and subdue the earth. God made Eden a large garden in the east, and he put Adam and Eve there. That didn't cover the whole earth. It was just a large garden. We know approximately where it was because of the rivers that are near it. It was probably in Iraq. Would have had to have been. And yet, suddenly, Adam sloughed all that whole thing off. He didn't do it. He robbed the tithe from God, didn't he? He took God's, what belonged to God. He took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God said, that doesn't belong to you. Leave that alone. Everything else is yours, but you leave that alone. When Adam took that and stole from God, he lost his right to walk in the blessing. The blessing was still his because God had spoken it, and God's words never change. Did you ever think of that? What he said to Adam was still in effect, but Adam chose not to walk in it. It's that way today. The words that I've spoken to you today, these words of admonition, these prophetic words that were given this morning, they're words that you could take a couple of different ways. You can take them and say, well, I don't agree with it. So don't worry about it. Nothing that I said will affect you then. Certainly not the good part of it. But if you decide that you're going to say, you know what, Pastor's right, the Word of God's right, the Holy Spirit's right, we need to focus on Him. We need to spend time with Him. We need to study the Word of God. We need to charge ourselves up with the Word. If we choose to do that, guess what? You can begin to walk in the blessing. But if you choose to walk outside of it, you don't have to take the blessing that God gave you. And God spoke this blessing upon mankind. He spoke it upon Adam. That's on all mankind. The blessing depend somewhat on the anointing. In fact, it's, we're going to show you today it's really connected with anointing. And anointing depends on unity. The blessing is received by faith. You have to trust God for it. It demands. You want to walk in the blessing? It demands that you walk in the commandment of love. That's why we spend every Sunday morning, we begin our service with Shema. And the Shema isn't just "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Shema is, "And you shall love. And you shall love Yahweh. You shall love Him with all your heart and with all your being and with all your resources." And if you do that, you have to also follow Leviticus 19:18, which says, "And you love your neighbor as you love yourself." And Yeshua says you'll even go further than that, because you'll love as I've loved you. That's a lot of love. Amen? Say, that's a lot of love. Well, that's a lot of love, I'll tell you what. But we also found out that sin can deter the blessing, just as it did with Adam. And the reason it does is because when we sin, we are obeying a different Lord. Isn't that right? It's not because God gets mad and says, "I'm not going to bless him anymore." No, the blessing's still right there for you. You remember the prodigal son? He ran off and left his pa, took all of his money, spent it, and was eating hog pods. Back on the farm, we called hog food slop. That was slop. He was eating, he said he would have eaten what the pigs ate. Finally, the Bible says, he came to himself. He had an awakening, revelation. He said, "Wait a second, here I am feeding hogs, and every now and then getting something they leave behind. That doesn't sound good to me." And he said, "I know what I'll do. I'm going to go back to the blessing." So he returned to his father. And guess what? While he was a great ways off, the father had been looking for him. I believe he'd been praying for him. Father had been praying, "Send my son home. Father, have my son come to himself. Speak to his heart." And so he's looking out. He's been praying. He's expecting. That's what prayer of faith is expecting. When you pray and you really believe, you start looking for it. I say, when you pray and you really believe, you start to look for what's coming. And one day you saw on the horizon a dot. And he watched that dot get bigger and bigger and bigger. How many of you think that if you've been around long enough, that if you watch me from a distance, you might be able to know me by the way I walk? Colleen can tell me, out in a large parking lot, she can see me walking. It's because she's been around me a lot. She knows me by the way I walk. I could always tell my dad by the way he walked. By the way, my dad was 5'8.5", and I'll tell you what, it took a lot. I've got 6 foot tall. I have a lot bigger stride, but he could almost outwalk me. He was a fast-walking man. I could tell him by the way he walked. I believe the father looked out and he saw this dot walk. Pretty soon he saw the gate and he began to say, "That's my son. That's him. He's come. Thank you, God." He grabs up some servants and he takes them. He says, "Bring a robe and bring a ring." And they run out and he meets him a great ways before he got to him. That's the blessing. Say, the blessing is looking for me. The blessing is looking for you. The blessing is waiting for you. Sin can deter it, but if you turn around, you can walk right back into it. Amen? We looked at the tithe connection. There's a connection between giving to God. He says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out the blessing that's so great that you can't receive it." The blessing is an empowerment to prosper. If you were prosperous, what would you look like? Some of you already look that way, but if you were completely prosperous, what would you look like? Would you be driving a Rolls Royce? Would that mean you're prosperous? Or could it be that you could have a Rolls Royce and still be poverty stricken? It isn't just money, is it? It talks about spirit, soul, and body. The whole man, blessed. And the fully blessed person looks like this. They look just like Jesus looked. They act just like Jesus acts. That's the blessing. That's the way it is. Because the blessing says, fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion, and subdue it. In other words, expand the kingdom wherever you go. What's that look like? Well, I think it looks different than we think it does. We send missionaries off, and a lot of the poor people, especially in older times, lived in almost poverty. I don't know if you ever heard the stories about John G. Lake, but John G. Lake went and had a tremendous ministry in Africa. Took many, many people with him, and they healed and just had wonderful ministry. One day, somebody started spreading some bad rumors in this country about him, and people just shut off his support. John G. Lake went to his people, and he said, you know, I guess we're just going to have to shut the ministry down for a while. And they said, no, you don't have to, because we're going to stay with you. And many of them, it's recorded, many of them actually died on the field from malnutrition. That's not the way it looks, spreading the kingdom of God. But that's the way churches are. See, churches think, well, you know, a missionary is kind of they're a necessary thing, but you know, no, listen, they're what we're here about, sending people out. And we got to send them out where they look like kings. You say, you mean crown and fancy clothes? No. Just quality. Quality, that's what I'm talking about. So, we're talking about the blessing. An empowerment to prosper, to expand Eden, the garden, and that is the kingdom, and that is the kingdom of light, to manifest it in the earth. Now today I want you to get this down, and this is going to be the key to you. This is that God has already blessed us. Well, we've been studying this for a while, and we've especially started with Genesis 1:27 and 28, where God blessed them and said what we've already spoken this morning. But I want you to know that the blessing precedes Adam. Say, how could it? Listen. Listen, it precedes Adam. God has already blessed us. How long ago did He bless us? In Ephesians, you find that yet? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all. Say all. Say all. Say all. That's not Texas for oil. It's all spiritual blessing. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in Christ. What's the name Christ mean to you? What does it mean? Is it Jesus' last name?
Savior.
Huh?
Savior.
Savior? Actually, He is, but doesn't mean that.
The anointed, isn't it?
The anointed. Actually, it speaks of the Anointed One. And the only reason we have the name Christ is because the New Testament was translated into Greek. I don't believe it was given in Greek. It was translated into Greek. And the word Christ came forth at that time as a translation for what other word?
Messiah.
Mashiach in the Hebrew. Mashiach, the Anointed One. But I want you to know that whenever you see the name Christ in Scripture, it doesn't just mean, it's not a name, it is a position. And it talks about a position because of anointing. Say anointing. And the anointing means to smear or to rub. Remembering now that in the scripture, anointing always had to do with rubbing oil on, or pouring oil on, and then rubbing it. That's what the word Christ means. But it also, it never just means the person, it also speaks about the position. The Messiah, the anointed one, and his anointing. So say that with me. The anointed one and his anointing. You say, why do you have us repeat things that you say? How many of you know how we get things down on the inside of us?
Hearing.
You get it from hearing. What happens when you hear? Well, that's a stimulus. It stimulates. But you know, when you say what you've heard, it sets it. That's why we ask you to repeat with us so often. I would encourage you, if you're a person that has a hard time reading Scripture, read it out loud. Read it out loud. You'll find that it's much easier to keep your attention on the Word of God if you read it out loud. So if the only time you read it is in bed while your husband or wife's trying to go to sleep, you might have trouble. You better read it other times, right? Because you probably don't want to read it out loud then. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the Anointed One and in His anointing. Now, are you getting this? This is important. This is important because the Scripture tells us in 1 John that the same anointing that He has, we have. It's been imparted to us through knowing Him. We have that anointing. And the blessing comes through the anointing. See, He hath blessed us in the Anointed One and in His anointing. Verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen. Say chosen.
Chosen.
What does that mean? He's chosen you. What's another word for it? Chosen. He picked us. What's another word for it? Hey, what?
Collected.
Collected. What's another word? Called. He called you. Now, when we say called, we're talking about having a calling. And I believe every believer has a calling. That's why we put these little signs up here. Every saint, a minister. We could put it, every believer is a minister, because we all have a calling. And that calling is the same calling that God gave Adam. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Have dominion and subdue. Our job is still the same. Hasn't changed. It's the blessing. Now, listen to this. He hath chosen us in Him when?
For the foundation of the world.
When? When? Before the foundation of the world. Now, what does that tell you? How long ago did God make up His mind about this? Before the foundation of the world. When was the world founded? Well, I'm one that believes God could have done it very easily in 7 days, just as the Scripture says. And if that's the case, it's roughly 6,000 years ago would be before the foundation. If that's not the case, and I'm not hard-nosed about it, you know, I believe God could have created the whole earth earlier than that. And, you know, scientists try to tell us that they know, because they've got such absolute knowledge of everything, that it's billions of years old. But I want to tell you, if it was billions of years ago that the earth was created, then, listen to me now, God had already, billions of years ago, chosen you in Christ Jesus. You say, well, I'm not even saved. I don't even know the Lord. See, some people could say that. But that doesn't mean God hadn't chosen you. Your choice is, if I called somebody today, I used to do this. I used to call my kids. Hey, kids, come here. They had a choice. I had one daughter that always said, one more time down the slide. One more time. It wasn't Colleen either. Come on, Colleen, let's go down one more time. Well, I didn't think she had a choice. But she did. And she usually did the one more time down the slide. And sometimes she got in trouble. Sometimes she got her sister in trouble too. You got a choice. When God calls us, we got a choice. But He called us before the foundation of the world. That's a long time ago. What did He call us to do? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Man, that's powerful. That you should be holy. How many of you feel holy today? Well, that's good.
Not arrogantly.
No, but not arrogantly. You feel it because He has chosen you to be holy, set apart, separated unto Him. Amen. So, when did He choose you? Before the foundation of the earth. What did He choose you for? His calling. What does His calling involve? The anointing. Say the anointing. The anointing. Now listen to the third chapter of Ephesians, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, unto me, who is the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles. Now what would he be preaching? The what? The gospel. The gospel. We're going to talk about the gospel. But he says that I should be teaching the Gentiles. Who's the Gentiles? Well, unless you are Jewish and know it. See, there are some Jews around who don't know it. But unless you're Jewish, you're a Gentile. Now, you were a Gentile, because I believe when you're born again, the Scripture indicates that we at one time were Gentiles. We're no longer Gentiles after the flesh. I mean, we are Gentiles after the flesh, but not after the Spirit. We don't walk in the flesh anymore, right? So it says he wanted to preach this, what, among the Gentiles? What's he going to preach? We said it was the gospel, but what did they call it here? The unsearchable. Say unsearchable. What does unsearchable mean? Something's unsearchable. What does that mean? What? I didn't get you.
No boundaries.
No boundaries. Unsearchable. Okay, what else? Unsearchable. What else does it mean to you? If it's unsearchable.
My translation says unfathomable.
Unfathomable. That's good. Anybody else?
Imaginable.
Unimaginable. It literally means, though, I mean, if you just get real simple about it, if something's unsearchable, there's no sense hunting for it, right? I say if it's unsearchable, there's no sense searching. It can't be searched out. How? Naturally. It's naturally unsearchable. It's unsearchable. It's the riches of Christ. Or we could say, well hidden would be something you would go along with, wouldn't it? It would be so well hidden it can't be found in the natural. That's what he's saying. But he says, now I'm preaching this that formerly was without the ability to be found. I'm preaching it. I'm preaching this which could not be found. It's the riches of Christ. It's the riches of Christ. Unsearchable. Now, we also say that's the gospel, right? Isn't that what the gospel is preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ? The unfathomable, the unimaginable. These riches, these things that pertain to Christ are beyond the ability of man to find. How many of you know that people have set up huge universities to study God? And some of them started out good, but you know, I've got to tell you that most of them nowadays are really looking for God with the head. Can you find God with your head? No, you can't. Let's go on. Let's go to another verse of this. He says, I'm going to preach among them something that can't be found naturally. And they are the riches of Christ. And that riches, I believe, is talking again about this anointing. And to make all men see what is the fellowship. In other words, when I'm preaching about these riches, I'm going to also teach you, what does it mean when it says I'm teaching you about the fellowship? The koinonia is the Greek word for it. When I'm teaching you about this koinonia, the fellowship, what does fellowship mean?
Relationship.
Relationship's good.
Intimacy.
And when you are relating to someone in intimate, you are participating in. That's literally what the word means, to participate in. I am participating in what? I'm participating in these unsearchable riches of Christ. They've been so far hidden that no man can find them naturally. There's no way to get to them anyway except when they're preached to us by the foolishness of preaching, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? Then the revelation can come. He says to make all men see how that they can participate in the mystery. What mystery? Well, if you are reading here, you have to know that there's a context here. The mystery is speaking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. The mystery. What is that mystery? The anointing, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid. It hath been hid. Well, isn't that unsearchable? If it's so well hid you can't find it, it's unsearchable, isn't it? That's the same word going back up to unsearchable. Hath been hid in God. God had it as a secret place. Beyond searching. And he created all things by Jesus Christ. When did he do this? It's right there in verse 9. When did he do it? When? From the beginning. Say, from the beginning. All right. So would you agree with me that from the beginning is talking about before the foundation of the world? Back at that same time. Now, are you getting the idea of where we're going here? That this blessing and this idea of the blessing of God has been around a long, 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 long time. How many of you know God planned this from the beginning? It says, to the intent, verse 10, to the intent, or the reason for this was that now, say now.
Now.
When?
Now.
When?
Now.
That was then, but this is now. Right now. Say now.
Now.
This is the intention of this. Now. Now. Unto the principalities and powers. Who are principalities and powers? Who are principalities and powers when we read about that in Scripture? Who are these things? Huh? It's every good and evil. Angelic being, every spirit, good and evil, unto them. Even unto the good angels. See, the good angels don't know what we got. They don't understand what we got. Do you understand that? They don't have what we have. Angels don't have what we have. They're sent forth to minister for us. We think about it. People, did you know people worship angels? Have you ever seen people, they collect everything about angels? How ridiculous. Angels are ministering servants sent forth to minister for God. They're just following orders. But we have something greater than they have. And under these principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, this is, I tell you, if you don't get into this, and if you don't recognize this, this is such a powerful, this is such an extraordinary thing that's coming forth here, that somehow God has taken these unsearchable riches, these things that were hidden from the beginning, from the foundation of the world, and He spoke them out as blessing, but now, through the church, say through the church.
Church.
Through the church. Who's the church?
We are.
We're the church. How many people does it take to have a representation of the church?
One.
One person represents the church. Now, it's not enough for us to just be on our own, but we still are representative of the church. We're one member of the body. And now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, what? What are we going to show? We're showing angels this. The manifold, say manifold. Everybody knows what a manifold is, but what does manifold mean? What does manifold mean? Well, what does a manifold on a car do? Come on, mechanics. A manifold is the means by which fuel is spread out to the various cylinders. Isn't that right? That's the way your fuel and air gets to the various cylinders, is through your manifold. Your exhaust manifold does the same thing in reverse. Takes all of the burnt fuel and vapors from the cylinders, many folds into one pipe, and takes it back out. Now you know how to run an automobile. You could build one, right? Because we talked about it. The manifold. The manifold wisdom of God is talking about all of the facets of God's wisdom. Say everything. All things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. All things that He knows. Everything that's available unto God is available to us through Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. And He manifested the wisdom of God. What did the wisdom of God look like? Well, it looked like Jesus. What did Jesus look like?
His Father.
He looked just like the Father. That's what He said. He said, I and my Father are one. And when He prayed for us, He said that they may be one just like we're one. Now, here's the key. From this manifold wisdom, what's in the manifold wisdom of God? Well, we look at it again, Jesus. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, this is supposed to be made known not by Jesus Christ anymore, but by the church. The manifold wisdom of God. We're supposed to be showing forth this manifold wisdom of God. Who are we supposed to be teaching? Well, it says principalities and powers in heavenly places are going to find it out. What does that look like? Jesus, you could say, was the very life, the nature, and the ability of God. What are we supposed to look like? We possess it. This is in the blessing. The life, the nature, and the ability of God is in us. Today, right now, listen to me. Listen to me. Right now, today, in believers, is the life, the nature, and the ability of God. I've just been reading Acts again. Reading Acts, Jesus, we talk about this quite often, that the Bible says, all who came to Him, He healed. Everyone that came to Jesus got healed. Now, there were people in that day that wouldn't come to Him and they didn't get healed. But everyone that came to Jesus got healed. I believe that explains why in His own hometown, He only healed a few sick folk. Said He did no mighty miracles there. In His own hometown, He did no mighty miracles there, except He healed a few minor sicknesses. And yet the Scripture cannot be abrogated when it says all that came to Him were healed. So what does that tell you about His own hometown? Not very many people came to Him. And He marveled because of their unbelief. Now, reading the book of Acts, the Bible says the same thing happened in the early church. That everyone that came to the apostles and the early church disciples, everyone that came was healed. Now, where are we today? Are we some kind of a inferior set of believers? Why? I'm asking you, why isn't that happening in your life? Well, maybe it is. Maybe everyone that comes to you does get healed. But I want to know this. Are you inviting people to come to you? Are you telling people, I've got the answers. I've got Jesus on the inside. Does that sound smug to say, I've got the answers? I've got the answer on the inside of me. He's there. Healing is there. When we prayed for Pauline today, it wasn't like, oh God, if it be possible, could you just maybe somehow ease her suffering? No. What were we saying? Pauline, you're the healed of God. Pauline, you're well. You're healthy. You're strong. Now, the fact is, everybody has to come to receive often, right? Not everybody just gets a healing sent out to them. And no, they have to come for it. They have to receive it, in other words. There has to be receiving. But I want you to see this. That we're to be showing forth, the church is to be showing forth the very life, nature, and ability of God. It's all supposed to be happening by the church. What is the church? The anointed body of Jesus Christ. Right? The anointed body of Christ is what the church is. By the anointing. But it's about manifestation, isn't it? That's why we're not seeing it so much. Now listen to this. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. This is his life. This is the way his life was. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. When did he promise it? Before the world began. Would you agree that that's the same as from the beginning and from the foundation of the earth? Same thing that it's teaching here, isn't it? That's when it happened. What's he giving? Life. Say eternal life. We talk about eternal life a lot. What is that eternal life? What is that? What is eternal life? What is it? What is it? Oh, it's just living forever? No, no. No, eternal life is more than just living forever. And here's the reason I say that. You receive eternal life the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. In Him is life. When we receive Him, we receive eternal life. So what does eternal life look like? What is eternal life? It's the life of God. Chaim in the Hebrew. Chaim. Comes right out of the heart of you. Chaim. Zoe in the Greek. The Zoe God kind of life. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have Chaim. Everlasting life. Have Zoe. Have the life of God. We actually receive His life. How was Adam given life?
Through the breath of God.
Through the breath. Through the breath. The ruach. Which is also the word for Spirit of God. That's how we're given life. When the Spirit of God comes into us. You remember Jesus in the upper room after He was raised from the dead, walked into the room where the disciples were, and the Bible says He came through the door with it still being shut, and walked over and went, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He gave them eternal life. He gave them life. That life comes right out of God. Jesus is God, blown right out of His breath. Remember He said in John 10:10, He said, the final part of that verse says, I'm come that they might have Chaim. He breathed on them. He may have said Chaim to them when He said that, life. Receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed the breath of life into them, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So we've already got it. It happened from the foundation of the world. It was a done deal. Way back, whenever God first thought it. And that may have been in the eons of eternity that none of us can even imagine yet. But listen to this. We need to start believing it. You need to act like it. Say, I'm going to act like it. I'm going to act like it. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Now that's not the same word, fear, that we normally think of. It's not phobia. It's a different fear. If you look it up in Strong's, you'll find out the word that's being spoken of here is timidity. I was speaking a little bit ago about Christians saying, hey, come to me. I have the words of life. How many of you do that regularly? Tell people, come to me, I have the words of life. Not many do. But without that, the reason we don't is because of timidity. But God didn't give you that spirit of timidity. God didn't give you the spirit of timidity. What did He give you a spirit of? Power, love, a sound mind. A sound mind. Say sound.
Sound.
What's sound mean? So you can't preach unless you define words.
Stable.
Stable. Sound. Stable. What else?
Strong.
Strong. A sound mind. Actually, if you look it up and just study what it says, it's talking about one who is full of self-control and confidence. It's the opposite of timidity, isn't it? I say it's the opposite of timidity. The verse 8 says, be not thou therefore ashamed. Ashamed. Why would you be ashamed of God? Now wait a second. It says, be not therefore. When you see a therefore in Scripture, what is the command?
Find out what
the therefore is there for. Isn't that right? Now, we could read it like this. Because of this, don't be ashamed. Because of what? Because God's given you a spirit of power and love and of confidence and self-assurance in Him. Self-control. So therefore, because of that, don't you be timid or ashamed. That's why people act ashamed, is because of timidity. You know, there is such a sense in the church that if I say anything that sounds like a positive confession, that I'm bragging. Rosemary, a moment ago, when I said, how many of you feel holy? She raised her hand. Many people would say, well, if you feel holy, you must be a braggart. But she did quickly say, not because of me, but because of Him, because of the call of God. That's what we need to understand. God's the one that said this. God's the one that said that we're going to show angels and demons the manifold wisdom of God, the life, the nature, and the ability of God are going to be shown through the church. When God spoke the blessing on people, His intent was that that blessing would spread out throughout the earth. That's what He was doing. We see, to expand Eden, to expand the influence and the power of God everywhere. And yet, what do we talk about when people are around? We talk about the weather, don't we? We talk about unmeaningful things, don't we? Even Christians, they get together, they don't talk about the things that keep their mind uplifted and built up. We want to talk about everything that's going on around about, the current events of the day. Well, you know, it's all right to have some time of that, but that shouldn't focus our lives, should it? We should be speaking to one another of the power and the love and the self-confidence that we have in Jesus Christ. It's about manifestation. It's about manifestation. We want to get it out. We want to get it out. So don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed because of timidity of the testimony. Say testimony. What's testimony? What is the testimony? Well, look that up in Strong's, and you'd be surprised to find out that the testimony is what the tables that were put into the Ark of the Covenant. And what were they? They were the Torah. They were the Torah. The Torah was put in there. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Don't be ashamed of the word of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. What is the gospel again? Well, literally, the gospel is preaching and teaching this blessing, the hidden and unsearchable riches of Christ. It isn't just, listen, the gospel is not just be born again. The gospel is not just getting saved from hell. The gospel is living a life and manifesting to the world the life and ability and name of God. That's what we're called for. So he said, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. We're back to that call again. He's chosen us, not according to our works. Don't be sitting around saying, well, like Moses did. You remember Moses had 5 excuses? Did you remember that? The great man of God, Moses, had 5 excuses. Remember? He said, but Lord, who am I? I'm unworthy. He said, Lord, send somebody else. Remember? What causes
sins and their iniquities will I remember no more? Is that the same as forgetting? Or does that get back to choice? Forgetfulness is not necessarily choice, is it? But remembering no more is an active choice of the one who has been remembering to remember no more. Now you say, how do I do that? Because every time I try not to remember something, it keeps coming up. How many of you would know the scripture if I said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good? Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So what do I do if I don't want to remember something? I cast down the imagination. And every high thought, every thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, I cast it down. And how do you cast down ugly things? Put beautiful things in their place. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Yeshua the Messiah. Amen? You have abilities to do these things. God has given you devices, tools, weapons to cast down wrong thoughts. 99% of forgiveness is remembering no more. That's a choice. Now, how do you know? Well, if every time you tell a story about your relationship with that person, if you have to get into it with somebody and say, now I've forgiven them, but I've just got to tell you what they did. Guess what? You are remembering. And I'm going to tell you, if you've been in ministry for a while, you've had plenty of things that you could remember about the way people treat people. The way ministers treat people. Am I right or wrong? But you can choose. I forgive. I will remember no more. Starts to come up. Say no. I said I will not remember that anymore. Instead, I will remember him who suffered such contradiction of sinners. I will remember Yeshua, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll remember him. I'll put my mind on whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure. Lovely. Good report. Virtuous and praiseworthy. I'll put my mind on Yeshua. I'll put my mind on him. Every time the enemy tries to bring up to me that old deal about if only such and such hadn't... Nope, not going to believe that. Not going to listen to that. Not going to hear that. I'm going to think on those things that are true and honest and just and pure. I'm going to cast down my imagination of evil. I'm going to put down every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. How many think you can do that? If you can't do it, I failed this morning. But if you know you can do it, you know there's absolutely nothing that can get between, nothing that anybody's ever done to you. No offense. that's ever been passed. Now remember, the Bible says, woe to that man by whom those offenses come. God will take care of them though, right? Not your job. God will take care of the one by whom offenses come. But don't take offense. Don't accept it in your life. Immediately stop. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. You know they still don't know what they're doing. Isn't that right? Those people that do wrong to us, they still don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 4:23 says this. It says, keep your heart. Where does bitterness come from? Comes out of the heart. Bitterness and strife, all of those things. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. How am I going to keep my heart? Out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. So I'm going to fill my heart with good things. I'm going to fill my heart with the Word of God. I'm going to fill my heart with meditations of Yeshua and what He's done for me. And even as He has forgiven me, so also do I forgive. Amen? God loves, so do I. Amen? Praise God. Father, we love You. We bless You and honor You today, and we praise Your holy name. We bless You for Your goodness and Your mercy, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. We thank You today for Your love and Your mercy. Lord, we thank You for Shalom, the peace of God that keeps our heart and our mind through Messiah Yeshua. Thank You in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to give you a moment this morning to put into practice what I've said. You could walk out of here and you know, it may be an in-law. It may be a mother or a father. They may be dead already. Doesn't make any difference if they're gone. You still need to go through this very same thing. You need to do it. It needs to be something that cannot be an open door in you. Let's shut the doors. Let's shut the doors to the enemy. Keep your heart with all diligence. Stop right now and just see. Is there anyone that's right there that's always dogging you? And when you think about it just for a moment, you know, it comes right up. And I want you to stop right now and forgive them. Do it as your choice. I forgive. I forgive. Might be something that happened to you in church. Forgive it. Might be a brother or sister in the Lord. Might be an actual brother or sister. There's something that comes up in you that if only they hadn't done this, if only things would be different. No, don't go back. Don't go there at all. Just forget that. Cast it down. Remember it no more. I remember it no more. Hallelujah. Let Your peace flood over, Lord God. I'm not going to allow anything that opens up a way for the enemy in us. We'll give no ground to the devil. Thank You, Father. Thank You. Thank You in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. Lift your hands up and receive this. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. Shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everybody that received it said,